four explorers standing on a mammoth mound in the middle of a desert, a mound 10 feet high and several acres vast, and the adventurers, gazing at what lay before them, were dumbstruck. For protruding from the sprawling sandscape, reaching into the sunlight, were the uppermost remnants of what lay beneath, the lost city of Pharaoh Ramses II. Engulfed in shifting sands, the old metropolis and everything in it, 10-story buildings, 35-foot statues, 5-ton sphinxes, had slumbered through the years, patiently awaiting the day of their rediscovery. Now at long last, that day had arrived. Peter Brosnan, leader of the expedition, was the Indiana Jones whose faith and determination had brought them here. Time and again he had been told that the Pharaoh's city had been lost forever, that the desert had swallowed it up long ago, and yet a few lines that he had read in an all-but-forgotten journal convinced him that the city was findable. And if it were findable, those 21 magnificent sphinxes that were said to have lined the city's main thoroughfare were surely still intact. And now, sure enough, here they stood. Brosnan and his partner, Bruce Cardoza, and a third associate and a guide, frozen in amazement as the sand swirled about them, stared at the stone fragments and the statuary peaks, acres of them. And thus did the dim past greet the shining present one morning in June of 1983, when excitedly the explorers began their work, brushing aside the sand with whisk brooms and trembling hands. The first artifact to be uncovered was the head of a horse, a 6-foot-wide bas-relief carving which had adorned the massive wall of an Egyptian temple. There were more than sphinxes here. Indeed, the sphinxes had included a white stone. The protrusions all about them were red and brown and black. There could be no question now. The entire city of Ramses II was there, defended against the invaders of future generations by the ramparts of obscurity. When word of Brosnan's find got out, you can imagine, archaeological teams from several major United States universities inquired, when may we visit the site? Curators at the Smithsonian Institution begged for artifacts to exhibit. Of particular interest were the giant jet-black statues of Ramses, known to have been buried with the lost city. And how it was known specifically what lay beneath the sand was by the photographs which had been taken when the city had been populated. I said photographs had been taken. For you see, the ancient metropolis, inundated by an arid ocean, had been built in the desert, had been built on the dunes, near the city of Guadalupe, California, 160 miles north of Los Angeles, the product of 1,000 workers who had labored more than a month under the guidance of a master who, in 1923, used it as the motion picture set for the experimental Technicolor silent movie extravaganza, the original epic, the motion picture called The Ten Commandments. For the fascinating ruins that archaeologists are right now preparing to excavate entirely are the replica, precise remains of what was once the world's largest stage, the fabulous city lost and found of Cecil B. DeMille. It's interesting. During the last years of his life, somebody asked, why had he spent so much money and gone to so much effort to produce the Ten Commandments? He replied, this one I can take with me. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. Calling anytime. 238-5775 or 238-5772. So after we challenged Darsha on whether there were driver's licenses that said no name given, I looked it up over the break, and September and October of last year, apparently the transportation department started cracking down on, it looks like just California and New York were issuing commercial driver's licenses without a first name, And this one article out of the New York Post says ICE agents arrested Amnol after he was stopped by the Oklahoma Highway Patrol during a routine inspection at a truck scale off I-40 last month. The Department of Homeland Security said Friday he handed over his legitimate New York issued driver's license, which had the words, quote, no name given, end quote, in place of his first and middle monikers. He allegedly entered the U.S. illegally in 2023 and was subsequently released into the country by the Biden administration, said the DHS. And so apparently it looks like New York and California were both handing these things out. I don't know what the status is of them now. Yeah.
No, here's the thing.
Just like a broken clock.
Now, the 17,000 were actually the amount that were revoked. So
yeah, so
it's quite...
It looked like there were... the other article we found said 63,000 commercial driver's licenses were issued to illegals. Go ahead, caller. Are you on the air?
Good afternoon.
How are you?
You're talking about the numbers. The number is actually one. One person, innocent person, who is dead today because of a driver's license issued in California, commercial driver's license. I think there was one name on it. We've already had the accident that people have been warning you about the driver's licenses without proper checking that have been issued to non-citizens and non-green card holders in this country. And now there's dead people because of it. Innocent people, just people grabbing to and from work or somewhere. They are dead already. It's already happened. And it made news. It was on the news. That's how I know about it.
Mm-hmm. On 46.
So it isn't a it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a reality. And it isn't the only one. However, I believe it's the only fatality. But there have been other accidents by people who don't have a proper commercial driver's license.
There were fatalities in Florida.
Well, there were fatalities down in Riverside County just a couple months ago.
The fatality I'm talking about, I believe, was in Florida, but the driver's license on that individual was issued in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that lends itself to your conspiracy theory, I know, but it's happened already. It isn't something we're talking about blowing smoke. This is true stuff.
Well, that's what I try to let people know, that the systems that are the safeguards that we supposedly have in place, which those safeguards are not in place, and it's a feature. It's not a bug. It's treated as a feature so that all of the employment development department, the unemployment insurance fraud that happened in California, they've admitted to it being over $200 billion, but it's likely $300, $400, maybe even $500 billion, where these funds were paid out to people who were not verified. They actually, what was her name? I'll think of it in just a second. I'm confusing it with Eugene Wu, but it's Susie. She went to the federal government from California. Anyway,
yes,
she actually turned off the verification system so that they could pay out as much as possible, you know, get this money out as soon as we can to people during COVID. You know, we have hurting people that are no longer working. We're going to send money out to anyone and everyone. They fill out an application, they get the money. And that was billions and billions of dollars California has admitted to sending out fraudulently. That's just the fraudulent part. So to say that our voter rolls are clean is, it's disgusting. It's not even close. We know that there are California driver's licenses being issued to non-citizens, which is my point. So
we know that for a fact because there's a family without a father today because of California's illegal dissemination of driver's licenses.
Well, thank you for being informed and for informing everyone else. We appreciate it. We have another call, so thank you for calling in. And they are no longer there.
Well, we do have two texts.
Okay, go for it.
So the first one basically says, I believe COVID launched all ballots mailed.
Yes.
And we were out of COVID, which is true.
It's no longer
the trend was, yeah.
But
we can easily go with. But you'll like this one. This is a very good text. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Question for Darsha. Do you ever get the urge to slap Kenny? It's a two-part. There's a second part.
No, but it is. You have to realize that from time to time, I have people who look at me like I have three heads.
I've never looked at you like you have three heads. Maybe
Darsha,
three eyes.
You can't be saying something that's true. I can't believe that would actually be happening. And so I just say, you know, I've done some research. This is what I'm hearing. I've looked at our county specifically. This is not any new information. I'm just looking at it going, oh, it's happening right here in our county. I'm not the one that makes it true.
Well, here's the second question. The second question is for me, and do I ever get the feeling that Darsha wants to backhand you, or have I already been backhanded? Answer's no to either one of them. But this is, you know, I was the little brother in the family, so I was the one that, hey, is that a bruise? And I'd punch you right in the shoulder. But, you know, the reason I give Darsha a hard time is you can't perpetuate something without fact, in my opinion. That was my career. You know, if you're going to say, like, we looked it up, we determined, yeah, there were commercial driver's licenses that said no name given.
And
but you have to have something to support that. You can't just, you know, wildly say, you know, Gavin Newsom's a lizard person and he's, you know, he can pull his skin off or whatever.
By the way, I've never said that, not even off air. I do think he looks a lot differently these days than he did in 2018. And we'll just leave it at that. But going back to the voter rolls, the research that I've done has been here in our county. And so when you say that can't be true, or, you know, I need to prove it, what was the first thing I said? Please, Kenny, look it up. Have it come from some independent source that you trust, or even, you know, I have people tell me if it was true, we would have heard about it. I just say, oh, okay, but here's what I'm seeing, and it doesn't make sense, and the numbers that I'm seeing don't make sense unless it's true. So I try to not be right, but it just keeps happening.
At least twice a day.
Okay, but I had seen in that same article, there were several articles from different sources where it was not only no name given, but there was a variation on that. It was no given name. So the point is that these driver's licenses are being issued, and that is something that voter ID will really not help. It's a better step, you know, but all that the voter ID initiatives would do at this point is make it so that you have to send in a copy of your driver's license that says no name given, and that can allow you to vote. So I say we have to completely redo the system. You have to physically show up.
Let's get to that in a sec. So a couple more texts. This one says this is nothing new. In 2018, there was a rock hauler carrying a full load of rocks driving on Highway 17, that person had an illegal commercial driver's license, had an accident and killed 13 people on the highway. Driver was here illegally. You referenced Highway 46, that accident in the fog earlier this year. Wasn't that driver illegal? And that was a delivery truck.
It was.
So I don't know if it qualified, how big of a truck it was, or whether it qualified for a commercial driver's license or not.
I am not sure. I see, here's where I say I'm not sure about that. I don't know whether it was confirmed that he was not a citizen. And it's fine if you go to another country and you drive, I'm okay with that, but you have to know the rules and laws of that country. And if you do something that is, and if you do something that is damaging to property, damaging to human life, damaging, then you need to be accountable for that. And the problem is that when people are given driver's licenses that are not citizens, that are here illegally, they do not have the resources to be able to compensate for the damage that they have caused. And it contributes to the Article 4, Section 4 invasion. So, here we go.
Another text. Why is registering to vote a one-time event, no ID required? We register our cars once a year. We have to renew our driver's licenses, our driver's license periodically, requiring voter re-registration every 2 years would clean the rolls. That's true, and that's a good segue into the discussion of what needs to be done. Now, here's, you know, playing devil's advocate.
No,
this is the fight.
Devil does not need
help. Let me finish. This is where the fight happens constitutionally in the United States, where the states say elections are the purview of the state, and so you're going to have, you know, California where illegals can vote in San Francisco for local elections. I think they're going to try to do the same thing in Los Angeles. Should local governments be allowed to allow foreigners and illegals to vote in their elections, in your opinion?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
And it used to be about property ownership, by the way.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has been deemed unconstitutional. But if you look at what I would agree with you. What I would argue is if you're a local government and you're receiving federal funds, then you should probably have to abide by a federal standard. It doesn't mean, you know, the Congress needs to set guidelines for who can and can't vote, how an election will and will not be conducted. I don't necessarily agree that it's purely the realm of the state to decide, you know, who can vote. We have a minimum age, right? There's a federal law that says, a constitutional amendment. I forgot which one it is, but there was a constitutional amendment. It's like, was it 26 that basically says, you know, you can be 18 to vote? That set a federal standard.
You can register at 16, by the way. That's called early registration.
But that's only in certain states. But I think the important thing to point out is this is not a nationwide problem. It's a problem in very deep blue areas, which I'm probably feeding your conspiracy minds right now.
How did they get to be deep blue areas?
Same way they did in the, you know, the 1860s and 70s, you know, corruption, you know, Boss Tweed in New York. I forgot who
Daley in Chicago,
whoever the mayor
literally
was. In the,
you vote often.
Yeah. I mean, so again, this is nothing new, but, you know, usually what has to happen is when, you know, somebody finds a way of getting around the law, you have to change the law in order to close that loophole. And it's a constant, in my opinion, it's a constant fight. I mean, I like the idea of forcing people to re-register on a regular basis. Now, I would counter by saying that could also make it easier to be fraudulent voting, because you're going to have, you may clean up the rolls, I guess, but you could have all sorts of people show up with, I'm doing air quotes, documentation to register. I mean, this is part of the problem with the federal system of government and 50 laboratories.
Well, I can add to part of that, because what we have now is a digital voter roll. So even when Judicial Watch won the lawsuit where they said, hey, there's 1 million to 1.2 million registered voters on the LA County voter rolls that are not, either they don't live here any longer or they're not eligible to be voting here. Maybe they're not citizens for whatever reason, ineligible to be registered on the Los Angeles County voter rolls. So you must remove them. It took years, but years later, they eventually removed, and I don't know that they removed 100% of those, but they removed at least 800, 900, maybe even 1 million, 800,000 or 1 million off the voter rolls. But within 6 to 8 months, those 800,000 were back on the registered voter rolls. So it's
how?
A digital
by re-registering?
Yes.
Okay, and that's kind of the concern
it's
that
a
I have.
Digital file. All you need is a name, an address. You don't even have to. It's just a line item. It's just and that's why when President Trump is talking about 220 million data, you know, of I don't know if each one is voter, but.
Well, they made it sound like it was 220 million the voter information for 220 million registered voters. So I looked that up. My concern when I looked it up, I asked Grok. Grok says there's only 187 million registered voters.
See, that's why I think that the 220 million has to do with the pieces of information. So a name might be one. An address might be another, but even then, it's still some exponential problem. And when you have each state that has its own voter rolls, and you have the DOJ now issuing subpoenas for the voter rolls for each state, and you have these states, most of them states, that are refusing to hand over their voter rolls, that's where we're at.
All right, quick break. We'll be back in a sec.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending mixed for the day, but down for the week. The Dow was higher, but the tech-heavy NASDAQ lagged as AI spending fears keep tech under pressure. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks finished mixed, but were lower for the week. Chip stocks continue to retreat. However, software stocks rose as investors rotate away from chips. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were higher, with tech the worst performer. And Paramount Skydance has agreed to pause its $110 billion acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery until a ruling on several states challenged to the deal or until June the 1st, 2027. The Dow winners, Apple, Travelers, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, American Express, Goldman Sachs, and Caterpillar. The Dow up 236 points, the NASDAQ lower by 162, S&P 500 up 4. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Okay, we're debating, not arguing. We actually kind of agreed, but Darsha's... Everybody go grab a cup of coffee because Darsha's going to talk numbers.
I'm going to make it local. So I follow some of the nationwide arguments, and I follow especially concerning to me is Fulton County, Georgia. Georgia as a state in particular related to the 2020 election, November 2020. And Fulton County, Georgia, like I said before, when you have more votes than you have voters, it's a problem. We can all agree there's got to be something wrong here. So in Fulton County, Georgia, they still have 17,832, I think is the exact number. They have 17,832 ballot images. That means somewhere in the system, the numbers, the total numbers that were sent to the Secretary of State and then to the, you know, national, that was where, quote, Biden won by 12,000 votes statewide. But in Fulton County, Georgia alone, there were 17,832 ballot images that cannot be accounted for. They do not have a person. They don't have a ballot. They don't have anything. They can't even go back to a tabulator that actually existed to how those ballots, how those votes got in the system. So that's why Fulton County, they have the machines. They have, thanks to Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, earlier this year. So they have the Dominion machines. They have the ballots. And they can go through all of the logs and you can replay the election. And you still have more ballots than you have voters. Okay, so then there's Pennsylvania. Same thing. There's 300,000, I think, is the number. You can look it up. I'm remembering 300,000 additional votes than voters. Then you have Michigan. So Michigan was, Antrim County, Michigan was a huge deal. That's where the clerk recorder started receiving numbers as to the tabulator counts going, whoa, this can't be right, and started trying to fix the numbers coming in like, oh, this is a more accurate number. So they were trying to override some of the, what I believe to be remotely accessed tabulator numbers coming in. Now, some people say that can't happen. We'll go down that pathway. But my point is that in Michigan, for the 2020 election, there was the case in Muskegon. It was the city clerk who had received between 8,000 and 10,000 registrations and started recognizing that the handwriting was very similar on these registrations. And there was an investigation. There was an arrest. The city clerk turned it over to the
sheriff.
And the sheriff actually did the investigation. They found this place. It's called GBI Industries Solutions, I think, GBI Solutions. and they were a registration gatherer trying to get more names on the voter rolls so that they could have more votes out there, more ballots out there. And she was arrested. There was one person specifically, and they also found firearms. They also found gift cards. They also found money. They found some drugs and that were all in her office, and that she had hired and paid people to get these registrations. So that's 8 to 10,000 from one little city in Michigan. Then we have Arizona. So I think it's Pima County or Pinal County, Arizona, that had more votes than voters. Then not only did they have more votes than voters, they had more votes than eligible voters, not just registered voters, 18 and over, possible. So this is happening. It's happening in our county. We have 3,313 ballots that were not counted. And to me, 155,000 in the state of California, where people sent them in, supposedly a legitimate person sends in a ballot and it's not counted. So if the whole purpose... go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I think now. You know, the citizens California specifically, decided that non-citizens should have a driver's license so they could buy insurance for their car, and we would have a way of protecting the public. Well, it didn't matter because most of the people that are non-citizens, they may buy insurance for 1 month and go down and get the driver's license and then not pay it anymore. And they notify the DMV, oh, he doesn't have insurance anymore. They don't care. They got a driver's license and they think they can go anywhere they want. But then on top of that, when they get a non-citizen driver's license, they are supposed to be designated as a non-citizen on the driver's license. That has nothing to do with them walking into a register of voters, asking for an application in Spanish or Chinese, fill it out, come to the box, are you a citizen? They check, yes, I certify under penalty of perjury, I'm a citizen, and they're registered to vote, even though they're a non-citizen.
And actually, that is what is happening with the California DMV. And that's one of the reasons why New California State specifically has sent out a letter a month and a half ago to every sheriff, every registrar of voters, and every clerk or the CEO for each county, 58 counties across California, notifying them that there have been people registered to vote on the voter rolls that are ineligible, and specifically through the DMV.
And without photo ID to vote, how are we going to ever know?
Well, even then, even with a photo ID, I just say that an identification, what has happened with our California driver's licenses, specifically California, is that we now have a government-issued ID, but that is not proof of citizenship. It's not proof that you live at the at whatever residence. It's not proof that you are eligible to vote at that location. So,
but they're declaring under penalty of perjury that it's true.
Yes. Okay. So I'm coming across the border illegally. I'm already committed a crime.
That's right.
What difference does it make? And truthfully, what's happening is a lot of the people that are being registered at the California DMV don't have any idea. They don't have any idea they're being registered. They don't have any idea that they're being registered to vote. And that all they know is that they're given. So I believe that they are being exploited too. It is not just a person going in saying, I know what the consequences are, and I'm going to get a driver's license anyway.
And then when they're doing the ballot harvesting, they fill out the ballot for them.
Exactly. I mean, truly, yep. there is the exploitation. I don't want that to be happening either. But there's actually a situation, and maybe you want to comment on this. There was a situation I became aware of yesterday where a person who is not a citizen, had a driver's license, was allegedly was under the influence of alcohol. He did apparently admit that he had had two beers, but anyway, rammed into one of my friend's cars in a way hard enough and in a way that it ended up being totaled. The car was totaled, bounced off of that car and hit another car, and the other car was damaged significantly. So this person goes out, does the sobriety test. I don't know what's eventually going to end up. But the part that was really disturbing to me at a human level was that you had somebody else coming, a neighbor coming out and wanting to have this be on her iPhone or camera, making sure that when the person who rammed into these vehicles under the influence, allegedly under the influence, was going to be treated properly. And arguing with the person whose car it was and the other person whose car it was, this is in broad daylight, and arguing that they need to get out of the way so that she can be filming this to make sure that the person who committed this, you know, is being treated fairly. To me, that thinking is just as dangerous as the person who has actually, you know, done this damage to somebody here.
Yeah, look at all the photo that they took in the Floyd case, and claimed that, well, that proved that the officer killed the person. I mean, what kind of ridiculous things is that? I mean, the person was fully alive when he got into the ambulance, and they took him to the hospital, and he died at the hospital. How could he have been dead going in the ambulance when they said he was alive in the ambulance? You know, the system is corrupt. That's all there is to it.
Well, what is the name of your book?
And Justice for All?
Justice for All. There you go. Well, thank you for paying attention here locally, going to the different meetings, and especially the school board. And
well, when the book comes out, the author will be Dee Irving.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Keep it up.
Your ghostwriter.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling in. And so when I talk about the local numbers, I mean, this is somebody that I know. And that situation where earlier this year, where there was the Truth Act, where the sheriff had to do the presentation in front of the Board of Supervisors, and there were 300 plus protesters saying, you're mistreating these people by handing them over to ICE. And when you're releasing them from the jail, now they've been in jail, and now they're releasing them to ICE. And that wasn't actually the case. It was where ICE is required to be contacted. If they contact the sheriff department says, yes, that person is here. That's all that was happening. But the way they made it sound was, you know, these are our neighbors, these are our community, these are our people. And my suggestion was, if they feel so strongly about having these people who are being released from jail out into the community, if they feel so strongly about protecting them, then I think they should just go ahead and stand behind those beliefs, have a clipboard right outside the jail, put their name, their address, their home phone number, their cell phone number, place where they can be contacted, so that that person, when they're released from jail, they can go right over to that clipboard and have it. Know where they can have a nice, warm, welcome place to stay.
Well, this gets into what we were talking about on the last break about, the point that I had made to Darsh on the break was there's always been election fraud in this country. As long as there have been elections, there's been election fraud. As long as there have been elections, there's been election engineering. But I think if you just look at our last 250 years, with the exception of probably the 1850s and the 1860s and maybe some periods in the 60s and 1960s and 1970s, election fraud has never been a national security issue. And I think that's what it's become now when you have a segment of the population that dislikes their country so much that they're willing to cheat and allow foreign entities to control, you got a problem. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth-generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Okay, we're back. This is today the Darsha and Kenny show, since obviously voter integrity and election engineering and all that is priority. But one of the articles that I'd printed out was another one from my favorite California, second favorite after Cal Coast News, California Globe. And article called "The Attorney General Rob Bonta Accused of Rigging Election After Manipulating Voter ID Initiative Language." I don't know how many of you have been following that, but you know, Prop 39 is the proposition that has been approved for vote in November, and that's for the voter ID. But we got a call, so we'll go to that. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, something that I've had a problem with, and my problem just increases, is that I find it really disturbing to listen to legal citizens, Americans, constantly defend the illegal. And in every walk of life, there is groups of people standing up and defending people who don't have a right to be here, who are not registered, who are, you know, I've seen articles where people stand up and defend somebody who had an accident and crushed the neighbor's car, who didn't have a license and didn't have insurance, and it was a poor me article. And I see it and hear it all the time, and I don't understand it. There was just something on social media the other day where the gentleman was complaining that every customer service phone call you make goes overseas, and it's so difficult to understand some of these people who are working from a foreign country. And somebody wrote back and said, well, what a racist he was. And I thought, you know, what have we come to that we don't defend our own, that we're only defending others? And I don't know what others means exactly, but I don't understand it. You know, how do we not stand up for ourselves and stand up for our neighbors, but we're willing to go to the mat for somebody who was picked up by ICE?
Well,
thank you.
I have an answer.
Okay.
This is a classic sort of modern communistic ideology. And again, if you look at the difference between sort of the communism socialism side and the fascism side, and the father of fascism was Benito Mussolini. He was the founder of the Italian socialists. And what caused him to go and start the fascist party is kind of what you're saying. There was a lack, his concern with communist socialists was the fact that they identified more with the French, the Germans, the non-Italians. And so the idea of the fascist was to create a nationalistic socialist party. Now, I'm not applying anything here, but what we're facing now in this country is you have socialists that are basically controlling the education system. You have socialists that are controlling the media system. And I would argue that they're probably even in control of a lot of the courts. But when you look at how you take over a country, you destroy the pillars of that society.
Infiltrate.
You control, and you do that by controlling education and you control the media, because you teach them what to think, and then you reinforce that through constant media. And that's where we are.
Wasn't it Khrushchev who said, you know, we're going to take over your country and we're going to do it through your children.
Right.
And through your educational system.
I mean, even, you know, I'm still angry over the fact that Paso Robles Joint Unified School District didn't want to do anything to celebrate the America's 250th. And there were the teachers union, and the teachers were saying, well, it's too political. It's your country. You're supposed to be teaching. I don't care if you're black, brown, pink, purple, or purple with pink polka dots, but I do care if you don't love the country the same way I do. And that's where I think education has been so corrupted. Not only do we not teach it to love the country, we actually actively teach these kids to not like the country.
I know we do.
And it's a national security issue.
Yeah, every time I turn around, and any time somebody says, you know, kids are walking out of school to protest this or protest that, I thought, you know, in this lifetime, I would not allow my child to do that. I just would not. You know, they're supposed to be in school to learn, and I would have a real problem with any school that allowed the kids to turn around and walk out in any kind of a protest. That's not what that's for.
Not only allow them, but encourage them to.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So I know the only way to fix this is to vote out what we have, but we first have to get it across to the citizens of this county and city and et cetera, is that we've got the wrong people in there making decisions for our children and for our city and our county, and allowing these things to happen and these attitudes to happen.
Yeah, we can't afford any more go along to get along people. And that's where we are.
Well, I thank you very much. It was just something that's been bugging me for the longest time, is how these people come out of the woodwork and they defend all of the wrong people and all of the wrong ideology. They're just not standing up for America and the citizens and what we're supposed to stand for.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So I would agree exactly, and that's why I was saying that the thinking of where you are more concerned about, less concerned about your neighbor and more concerned about a non-citizen or even somebody who has run into somebody else, has damaged somebody else's property, if nothing else, okay, you want to film this. Okay, that's great. Document it. That's all good and fine. But how many times has that person living down the street come over to my friend and said, hey, I saw everything that happened the other day. How are you? You know, I know that you had a family member that died in a car accident. That was probably traumatizing to you. Are you doing okay? Is there anything I can do that might help? I have this documentation. Who can I submit this to so that it's all under, you know, and care and concern for your neighbor, even higher and above anyone who is outside of being your neighbor, is my point. You know, so when you can't love your family and protect your family and the cause and the care for your family and have that be, you know, so typically your family looks more like you than maybe somebody from another country. So when that becomes racist, when you're caring for people who are part of your family and your neighborhood and your community, and you, and there's protection of that family, that is something that I think is an American value. And I agree with you, Kenny. I do think it's a national security issue. And I do believe that we have had an invasion. And I do believe that people need to be held accountable. I believe that it is starting, but it needs to happen because we haven't had the enforcement. In fact, it's not even just that we haven't had the enforcement of our laws. It has been that we're the ones, the law-abiding citizens, are the ones who are racist or homophobic or whatever. We're the ones that are being attacked. And I say it's time to turn that outside and just say, hey, the pendulum is swinging the other way. We know what is true and correct, and we love America. And hey, America, love it or leave it. Unlike thousands of countries across the world, you are free to leave. And so until that becomes something where the enforcement part of it starts happening, where people are being held accountable to disobeying the treason, the sedition, all of that that has been transpiring and is finally now becoming more visible.
Well, I'm going to go back to history, because when you look at the history of the country, there's always been voter fraud. You've always had corrupt elections, whether it's the Battle of Athens in Tennessee, whether it's West Virginia, whether it's Chicago, Los Angeles, you name it, Boss Tweed in New York. And Boss Tweed,
Lyndon Johnson. Yeah,
Boss Tweed in New York, you know, he purposefully preyed upon immigrants, promising them all sorts of things in order to get their votes. But at that point, it was more of a localized corruption issue, in my opinion. It wasn't an issue of how you're going to sell out your country, which is, frankly, what I think the Democrat Party's doing today. Go ahead, caller. You got about a minute and a half.
Okay. So, have you touched on Mr. Bonta's changing of the language of the voter ID?
I was trying to get into that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I hope you will, because it's a travesty, and it just goes to show you that Mr. Bonta is, he's a piece of work. But getting to the immigration thing, you know, you have a city council person, sitting woman, Chris Beall, who thinks it's a good idea to alert people that ICE is here to, like, get the bad guys. And the people of Paso Robles, or the people in her district, elected her. And so if you wonder who the problem is, you know, people got to start looking in the mirror.
No, it's a valid point. You know, I'm sure Chris Beall's a nice person, but I think when you start alerting people the way that she was advocating, I personally consider that interference with law enforcement, and I think it winds up injured unnecessarily.
Kenny, giving somebody a pass who is that irresponsible and saying that she's such a good person and such a virtue signaler, it goes a long way to causing the problem.
Well, I get along with lots of people. It doesn't mean I'm going to vote for them. So
Yeah, she's not a nice person. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in. And we're at the end of the show.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.